Lord Jesus, we do thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you, dear Savior, for your precious blood that washes away our sins, for your healing virtue, Lord. That is as certain as anything is in the Scripture. For dying for sinners, for your mighty resurrection, Lord, for your control of this world, we rest, Lord, in your judgment, and we praise your wonderful name. Bless the families that are represented here, Lord. Bless them with salvation, Lord, with the gift of repentance. Forgive us our sins, Lord, as we freely forgive those who sin against us. And grant, Lord, that our hearts may be as children, that we can enter into the kingdom. Praise your wonderful name. Teach us tonight, Lord, and help us that the Holy Spirit will add to us what we have need of. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to Psalms 105. We'll read together verses 16 through 22. Psalms 105. Okay, and here we go. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house, and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and teach his senators wisdom. Now, I want to make mention of something. One person that was here this morning brought out a short a thing that I need to explain in my teaching here on the two witnesses. If you weren't here this morning, this won't make too much sense. But this person was concerned that if the overcomers were going to be overcome and she wanted to be an overcomer, how come she had to be overcome? Well, I could see that the way I was teaching that you would certainly get that idea. But the point is that when God looks down, the Book of Revelation is from God's point of view. It's from God's point of view. And God is looking down. He says symbolically there's a witness here, and then the witness is overcome. It's the witness that's overcome, not necessarily the people in every instance. It's the witness that is overcome. And then God leads the way for the tares. Now, how that impacts on the individual is up to us. You see, God, it's like in the United States, we said this morning, and I think it's true, that the witness in our country has been overcome to a great extent by covetousness. It has really impaired. If you don't believe it, you think of how the television, for example, views the ministry. See, there's no fear of God, and that's because of the witness. But that doesn't mean that every Christian in the United States has been overcome, you see. It means that generally, looking at the picture, the witness has been harmed by Antichrist. But that doesn't mean that you've been harmed, don't you see? England and Argentina are at war, and that doesn't mean every grandmother in England is out tooth and nail against every grandmother in Argentina. You see, it means the two nations are war. It doesn't mean there's some people probably in convalescent homes that are deaf and blind don't even know there's a war. Okay? But it's in generalities. And the description of the different ways in which the witness will be overcome, not only by the sin, that's the street where the bodies lie, where the Christian institutions now devoid of life are left alive. But as far as the remnant, the victorious remnant, according to Revelation 12 and Daniel 11, they will be driven into the wilderness, and also Isaiah, come my people, come apart for a season. So there will be a remnant which will go all the way through in victory and will be ready when the Lord comes. We know that from what Paul said, those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Also, if one of those witnesses is Christ, as we have taught us, the two lampstands, well, how in the world can Christ be overcome and then be raised again? See, you've got to look at it from the standpoint of the witness. If you have a church and it names the name of Christ and it's gloriously testifying, then Jesus is being presented, you might say, as living in the community. Is that right? See? But if there arises dissension in the church and they lose their love, the name is the same, it's the Church of Christ, but it has been overcome and slain. So in that sense, Jesus has been overcome. Do you see what I mean? It isn't that Jesus himself is overcome, it's that his representation in that area has been destroyed. As he said, whatever you do to my brethren, you do to me. So, and Jesus said again, whoever receives you receives me, whoever receives me receives him that sent me. So it isn't that Christ is overcome, it is that the testimony is overcome by the cunning of Antichrist, and Daniel 11 tells that those who are strong shall be do exploits, some shall fall, but that doesn't mean that you're supposed to fall. Praise the Lord. Because, like, let's take the 91st Psalm, for example. That Psalm will hold true through the darkest hour. It will never change. There's no tribulation can change the Word of God. And so the day may come when you literally will see 10,000 people fall at your right hand. And brother, if that isn't tribulation, I'd like to know what is. You may see the day when 10,000 people fall, literally, slain at your right hand. But the Bible says it shall not come nigh you. But that is predicated on your dwelling where? Yeah, see, and that place is hard to find because it's a secret. Which brings us to the lyrics of the song of Glenn and Ginny. And that's so true. It's been done for us. There's nothing that we can add to that. You say, well, what's all the furor about? The problem is to labor to enter into that rest. See, there's 10,000 things that come against us that tell us it can't be that easy. But it is that easy. But the devil and the flesh and the world tell us it can't be, and it's a beating of the birds off our sacrifice. So the lyrics are true, and it is right. And the greatest word in the Bible is abide in me, and it will be all the way through the tribulation. Anything else, the Psalms will hold true. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. But what we sometimes neglect is that this applies to those who keep the word of Christ patience, to those who are in the secret place of the Most High, and in our affluent society, that is difficult to find. See, that's the problem. Each one of us here, it isn't that we're trying to achieve anything for Christ. We don't have to achieve a blessed thing for Jesus. It is a defensive warfare. It is keeping ourselves in Christ every moment. Don't you find that's easier said than done? See, it isn't. We don't have to go out and climb up Mount Zion on our fingernails. There's no need to be discouraged. Every person in this room can be an absolute perfect overcomer. It's by faith, saints. It's not by works. And I feel that God is calling each one of us to a new plateau. I feel it in myself, and I feel my bones cracking. I mean that. Just stretching, because what God is requiring of me in these days is beyond that which He has required before. And I confide a little bit of it to Audrey, asking me to be what I have never been, to do what I have never done, and it's difficult to grow. It is difficult to stretch to a new vision. When you see it on the horizon to reach, it's so much easier to settle for what you've got. But you remember the aged Paul said, I'm pressing toward that mark that passes back of me, and everyone that is perfect be thus minded, march in the same rank. And so we have not arrived. And God is calling some of us, maybe all of us, I know He is me, to be what I have never been. And it's hard, it's difficult, because I have myself conceived and cast in a certain role, and I've been content with that. Now God says, that's not good enough. I'm going to bring you a step higher. And it's hard. And it means reaching and stretching where I've never been. And I literally feel growing pains. But it's like God, and you know, the Lord is so funny, and Audrey's response to me was so appropriate. I said, you know, the Lord does not handle me with kid gloves. In other words, the idea is, why didn't you do it yesterday? See? It isn't, oh, come on now, Bob, we're patient now, maybe we'll get you to move over a year and a half. It's, I see you different. What's the delay? And I was telling Audrey that, and she pointed out, it's so true. God brings Elijah carefully up to the mountain, and he says, what are you doing here? So he doesn't say, now I want to give you 10 years to adjust yourself to a new thing. You know, all this, and Elijah goes up on an angel food and gets up in the mountain, and the wind blows and everything. And God says, well, what are you doing here? What am I doing here, Lord? I'm following you. But you see, like a crack administrator that's got crack people working for him, he doesn't want to waste time on small talk. Yes, I got you here. I don't want to explain what I'm doing. Do this. Praise the Lord. And it isn't it isn't harshness. It's simply that there's no time to be wasted. And there's a joy in it if you have that kind of a heart. I say, Lord, and the thing that comes back to me is, can you believe for it or not? The ball served right back in your court. See, I'm up here. There's the word. Can you believe for it or not? I say, Lord, I choose to believe. Do with me as you will. I could not care less. I believe. I tell Lord, I believe whether I believe or not. I believe. I believe. I believe. And now I've got peace in my heart because I talked myself into it. I believe it, so the rest is up to God. So we can do it. And everyone in this room can. And you can be, see, with God all things are possible. And you can choose to talk yourself out of it. Hear me. I know, I'll venture to say, I know by revelation, you can choose your level. You can attain heights you never dreamed were possible. And that was no small thing when God said to Abraham, with no child, your children will be in this number. That was no small thing. Abraham didn't say, how, or are you exaggerating, or is this a hyperbole, or what? No child, all of a sudden now I got more than the stars. See? And here's a guy who wasn't even born again. I believe. Righteous. Amen. The rest is up to me. So it isn't anything we have to haul ourselves up, you know, like climbing hand over hand off a rope in the gym. It is not that way. It is a case of assenting to what God wishes to do, and then keeping the birds off the sacrifice and not limiting the Holy One of Israel by saying any number of things, such as, well, it's never come to pass, so it never will, or I'm not worthy, or I know God wouldn't use me, or whatever. When we do that, there's no way God can move. We just say, Lord, I choose to be ignominious. I choose to be Cinderella. And you know, there's a kind of a smug satisfaction sitting among the pots, filthy, and saying, I'm no good, and the Lord can't do anything with me. And you can find security in that. And you can limit yourself to being Cinderella. But if you want to go to the ball at midnight, that's up to you. That's right. That's right. And that's where we get into a heart situation, see. That's where our real rebellion lies. Do we really? Because we've been knocked down for a while, pretty soon we find pride in it. One writer I read recently said, a man can learn to rejoice in almost anything. That's true. So we can limit ourselves. Praise the Lord. Or we can say, Lord, you said the throne. You must mean the throne. I believe. Praise the Lord. It's time to grow. And the only boundary is our own faith. What we're willing to believe concerning God. So it doesn't pay to be too humble. And it sure doesn't pay to be proud. Now, in Genesis 37, we have the vision. And I think we wouldn't be here if we didn't have a vision. I think each one of us has had his own vision. And we've been through this before. But there's a couple of things to notice with this boy. In Genesis 37, verse 2, Joseph was 17. We forget that sometimes. How many here are 17? Joseph was 17. Well, we got a 17-year-old back there. 17 is a wonderful... Hank is 17 also. All right. 17 is a wonderful age. I hated it with a passion. In fact, I enlisted in the Marine Corps when I was 17. I wouldn't want to be 17 again. But it's a wonderful age if you like confusion. I didn't enjoy it. I hope you have a better 17 years of age than I did. I sure wish that on you. But this fellow was only 17. He was pasturing the flock with his brothers, and he was still a youth. And Joseph brought back a bad report about his brothers. He went back and he says, Dad, guess what Simeon's doing? Guess what Reuben's doing? And just see what I saw Judah doing. And as for Issachar, will I fill you in on Issachar? He brought back a bad report on his brethren. So he was about as popular as a mouse at a tea party. He really made big points with his brethren with that. Kid, we don't need you. Split. Who needs anybody like that? A bad report about his brethren. Well, that was the beginning of his troubles. And sometimes I think those of us to whom God gives visions have made a lot of social mistakes. I know I have. I hope you haven't made all I have. No use all of us waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, I'm sorry. But if you've ever done that, you know what I mean. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, and that doesn't help. Dad's favorite. Dad was playing favorites. Here's the fair-haired boy, a tattletale, and a pet. God picks him, doesn't he? Yeah. And so he made him a varicolored tunic, and that didn't help either because he didn't make 11 of them. Maybe Benjamin was born. I don't know. He was the youngest. Joseph was second youngest. But he didn't make 12 of them, just one. And Joseph got the coat. Popularity contest here. That wasn't very smart of Israel to do that. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers. And believe me, parents, when you play favorites, all the kids know it. And it's also true for school teachers. And we try like mad to conceal it, but you can't conceal it because the little kids are politicians and they're very quick to know who the teacher likes and who she doesn't, no matter how she smiles. School teachers cannot afford affinities or antipathies. We have to outgrow them. And that is maturity. Yeah, and his brothers saw it, their father, and they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Isn't that tremendous? Oh, what a popular boy this was. And who does God pick to have the dream? Joseph. Now, you know, you have to appreciate Jewish culture. It's not like our culture, you know, where whether it's the youngest boy or the oldest boy, what's the difference? In their culture, there was a strict, you remember about Jacob and Esau. Esau was born about 10 seconds before Jacob. But that made all the difference in the world. See, he come out first. They were twins, but he come out first. And so he had the whole bit, the messianic strain in the thing. Age was important. And if God was going to do right here, he should have taken the firstborn of Jacob. And by taking the child way down the line, God really upset the apple cart. You talk about deliberately doing a thing to make people stumble. This is the way to do it. And I submit to you, that's the way that God does today, and that's the way that he does with our personal lives. We get a notion of how God should move in the church or in our own life, and God will deliberately do things backward and against everything that is proper and appropriate, and right then, the fat is in the fire. Because if we've got that pride, that Jerusalem pride, where we're trying to do things in terms of a pecking order, or in terms of who deserves what, or in terms of worth, and God affronts all this, God does that to break the back of man's way of working in the kingdom. He deliberately chooses the foolish. He deliberately does everything wrong. Isn't that wonderful? So, one of the first things that we have to learn in this vision business, and God working with us, is we cannot pick and choose and decide who's going to do what. We have to wait and see what God does with ourselves and with other people. And when he does that with other people, sometimes God will pick people for evangelists or pastors or apostles. He uses whom he will. And we look at them and we say, boy, if I was God, I sure would not pick them. That's true. But God did. And Jesus said, blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. And I remember Sister Dow one time saying that, and it struck me all these years. That was years ago. And there was an evangelist that turned her off. And she could not hear the message because she couldn't stand the evangelist. And she was having a terrible time and being the pastor's wife of the church. And the Lord said to her, blessed is he that shall not be offended in me. And so the Lord deliberately chooses people that rub us the wrong way. And you say, we say, well, Lord, I'm not going to take you on those terms. And we have no choice. If God gives the vision to Joseph, then Joseph has the vision. And, you know, it's a crying shame. Here the boys, what does he say? And, you know, he's got no more sense than to blurt it out. Another thing that God teaches us when we get into this preparation of the anointed deliverer, or the witnesses, is that it's best not to tell people too much, because they will fail you. And God is not particularly anxious to take the whole group when he picks one. You can't bring everybody with you. We're so democratic and we feel guilty. Well, why should God speak to me in this way? I'll bring, you know, all my friends and relatives with me. And then God leaves. He didn't pick all your friends and relatives. He picked you. And you can side with your friends and relatives if you want to, and God will hold you far off. God is an intensely personal being. He's not a theory. He's not an equation. And he's not just or fair in our terms. He's just and fair in his own terms. And he looks down at you and he says, I want you. We say, well, you must mean me and my church or all my friends. And that isn't who God called. He called you. Now, he will bless your friends and your family, but you can't bring them into that special place. And that was one thing. See, God does things in a sovereign way we don't understand. You know, there's a whole bunch of queens, a whole bunch of concubines, but my beloved is one. Well, how did she get that way? She didn't earn it. He saw her under the apple tree. He saw her before she was born. He does these kinds of things. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And when God puts his hand on you, that is for you. And if he doesn't, the best thing you can do is to do your best and love the Lord, because he will choose whom he chooses. And when the kingdom comes, there will be people who are set up over you and exalted, and there isn't a blessed thing you can do about it. You may read about them in the Bible, you say, "That rascal put over me, I won't hear of it. I read about you in the Bible, man. You weren't any gift." Huh? Suppose God put Samson over you. No way! I never messed around with Delilah. Who's this? See? But God, how do you think these boys felt? You don't take a kid and put him all over the other. We got a pecking order in this family. We know who's the age. You don't take the kid here, little thing here, he can't even behave himself, and put him over us. No way. And they were angry about that. That's something, isn't it? He puts up whom he will. He puts down whom he will. And there isn't a thing we can do except, "Lord, you are God. I hope, Lord, I have a place somewhere." That's right. Oh, boy, that works on the rebellion, doesn't it? All right. Now, please listen to this dream, ignorant kid. We're binding sheaves, and guess what? And I can't imagine what it signifies. Can you? All of your sheaves gathered up and bowed down to my sheaves. Now, I wonder what that means. A fast fifth grader wouldn't have any problem with that one, let alone some junior in high school. And he had another dream and told his brothers, "Lo, and the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bound." I guess Benjamin was born at this time. "The 11 stars were bound down to me." Now, everybody, what does that mean? Boy, his mother and father wasted no time. What are we supposed to wear? Your father and your mother? Sassy kid, it's the last coat I make for you. Oh, boy. You sure you want to be one of God's anointed deliverers? Yeah, but that's the way we are in our spiritual ignorance. Boy, all these other churches are dead and everything, and we as the people. And boy, do they love to hear that. Do they love to hear that? Well, anyway, first, there must be a vision. There's got to be a vision. You have to be called. Now, we'll probably have some that are worried if they're called. Don't worry if you're called. It'll take care of itself. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. You realize, and I'm not holding up this church, I'm sure there's thousands of such churches through the world, probably preaching much the same thing tonight, but it's a drop in the bucket compared to the world. Even the church world. So you don't worry about a vision. That's not your problem. You're here. That's enough. All right. And God chose you to be here. You wouldn't be here. And the next thing you run into is the pit. So we go over to verse 23 and find out about the pit. So it came about when, and this is Genesis 37:23. It came about when Joseph reached his brothers. And here he comes, skipping along with his little pail in his hand, like Goldilocks going to see Grandma, and his coat on, and tripping along and picking tulips on the way. And what does he find when he gets there? Rage. You know, we're going to traipse out and bring the good news to all our friends and relatives, and especially those dumb pastors. And you'll find out how far you get. Praise the Lord. It'd be just like Joseph. They stripped Joseph of his tunic. Well, they overpowered him. The kid was only 17, and these others were grown men. And they took him and threw him in the pit. You know, the Bible leaves a lot of stuff out, but this was a boy. And I imagine they hurt him pretty bad. There was no water in it, and it was a hot country. And I imagine he was crying his eyes out, just wailing. Hurt, because it was his own flesh and blood that had done this. Physically injured, in danger of his life, 17 years old. Now, one of the preparations for being a deliverer is physical pain and trouble. This isn't symbolic. We do get into hard places. And sometimes our brethren put us there. And it is no crime, nor is it anything unusual for a person that God is going to use to suffer. Jean Firth, after preparing herself for years by sleeping on an ironing board, then went to the foreign field of her choice. And how long was she sick, Audrey? Huh? 4 years, and after preparing herself, God calls her to the foreign field. She prepares herself by sleeping on an ironing board. She goes all full of joy, and she's sick. 4 years, she can't do a thing. And you know, when this happens to you, and it does happen to missionaries and servants of the Lord, and you're looking forward to such joy and hands are laid on you, and you've gone out, and like Stephen, you're full of joy in the Holy Ghost and the people, your relatives, in this case, these Jewish relatives, stone him to death. And saints, we've got to toughen up. This is the way it is. Praise the Lord. This was no joke. It was not a symbolic thing. It was a 17-year-old boy in a deep pit with no water in a hot country, hurt, and he couldn't get out, and he was in danger of dying. Then the Judah and some brothers, some of the brothers, not they weren't all here. Reuben wasn't here. They sat down to eat, and their brothers in the pit, crying and screaming, get me out of here. I'm going to die down here. I'm hot. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. His own brothers. No mercy. And what profit is it for to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. It doesn't say what they did with the money. But they thought there's no profit in him just dying. If we sell him, we got a couple of bucks out of it. You know, people can hurt you so bad in the church. More than one Christian, listen, in case it ever happens to you, more than one person has been wiped out and lost out with God because of the way they've been manhandled in the churches. Well, that's a sad bit of news, but it's the truth. So be armed, because there can be no one more cruel than your own brethren. We see this. This is an interesting thing. I don't understand it. And sometimes God helps me to gain a kind of an overview of the whole Bible. Just all of a sudden I see things I never saw before. Perception. Everything switches and changes in my mind. In my mind the other day, I was just going through the number of times that God sets, like, the people against Moses, or the Levites against the rest of Israel. It seems like Israel is always fighting Israel. When you go through the Bible, Israel is always fighting Israel. And they're bloody knockdown dragouts, like the Catholic Church burning the Protestants, the Protestants burning the Catholic Church. There is animosity. Now how can this be? In the one church of the living God, in Israel, that these men should take their own brother, there is nothing more cruel than religious envy. I tell you, it takes the great power of God to keep a church full of love. Do you know that? The devil is always seeking for a root of bitterness. Oh, he never lets up, because he is an accuser. And he doesn't accuse the world. He accuses the brethren. And it is probably, we're talking about entering, laboring to enter into the rest. One of the, you know, I think I've been here 6 years, and I think every time I pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the reason is not because I don't know any other prayers. The reason is because I learned in my Christian life one or two things, and one was one of the most important things in the Christian life is to keep your heart and life free of criticism. And it is so difficult because the pressure is there constantly to set brother against brother. And boy, it takes a lot of nimble footwork to keep on top of that thing. So we have to pray every day, forgive us our sins as we forgive. And we have to keep forgiving. Keep. And people will do the darnest things. And because they're church people, it's much harder to overcome than if it was some drunk in the street. That's because you figure, my brethren, they know better than this. But you see, that's all through the Bible. You get that. The first man born on earth murdered the second. In Adam's line, in the line of the sons of God, you get this thing. So it's a thing to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So the deliverers will not be treated kindly. And some of us may be martyred in the churches. It can happen. You think they're ready to hear about what a wonderful overcomer you are? Somebody was pointing out to me the other day, I don't remember whether it was Paul or Walter or somebody, gave me a thought I never had entered my mind. What is going to happen? Maybe it was Doug. These people that today will not receive tongues and are so vicious, the evangelicals, what will they do when God's anointed elect begin to work miracles? I think they'll do the same thing. I think they will reject it out of hand and become enraged. The born-again people. Or are they suddenly going to turn around and say, we repent, we've been wrong all these years. I don't think so. There's pride there, tremendous pride and tremendous envy. This can't be God. It can't be God. We've said it's the devil. It's got to be the devil. And here you come to deal your bread to the hungry, and they'll cast you out. In your house, you're wounded in the house of your friends. We have to watch for that. Come and sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. For he is our brother in our own flesh, the hypocrites. And his brothers listened to him. Then some Midianite traders passed by. So they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit. And they sold this guy. You can imagine the caravan coming and these uncircumcised Ishmaelites coming. Joseph didn't know him. He could picture, I'm sure this 17-year-old was picturing the worst that could possibly happen, to sell him into some eunuch harem, God knows what. Undoubtedly, he was terrified. And I'm sure the last thing, as the tinkles of the bangles and things on the camels went, the last thing those brothers could hear was Joseph screaming, let me go, help me, save me. That's Israel. And so they took one terrified young man in an Ishmaelite caravan. And then one sin always leads to another, so they took Joseph's tunic, slaughtered a male goat, verse 31, dipped the tunic in the blood, and brought it to his father, said, examine, we don't know whether this is his coat or not, which is a lie, broke the father's heart, ready to go down to his grave, weeping. Religious envy, it's a powerful thing. It's that third thing, Jerusalem. Where we get overcome. But this is part of being made God's anointed deliverer. Praise the Lord. This isn't all singing and dancing and hooping and hollering. That's part of it. But this is also part of it. So then we have the vision and then the pit. So I don't like that. Well, I can't help it. I didn't write it. The next we have Potiphar. Well, we'll call it temptation. The pit's tribulation. Now we come to temptation. And it was a honey. It was a beaut. This is a young fellow now. I don't know how old he was. Maybe 21. He was a remarkable person. In 39 of Genesis, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, brought him. Bought him from the Ishmaelites. who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. Notice that God was with Joseph wherever he went. He was with him in the pit, got him out of the pit. He's still with him. God's with you. God's with you even in the hard times. God's with you. And if you don't, Joseph always managed to bounce back. He always was able to occupy where he was and to make a good success of where he was. And I think that's extremely important, don't you? We have to learn to be faithful in the small. We can't be all the time thinking, boy, when I get over to China, what a missionary I want to be. Listen, that's all a daydream. That's the grass is greener in the next field syndrome. If you can't do it in your own church or your own home, you're not going to be able to do it in another church, in another state, anywhere. The magic isn't going to come through getting in your car and going someplace. And God wants to bless each one of us with the simple, small things where we are. Well, it may represent a bondage. It may represent a rotten deal. It doesn't matter. God is with us, and He's preparing us to be a deliverer, and God doesn't want us dreaming about the future. Well, I'll take that back. Yes, dream about the future. Keep your vision bright and strong, but overcome where you are. Because it isn't people that is doing this to you. Remember in the psalm we read? Until the time came, the Word tried him. The Word is trying you. And you must be tried in the realm of morality. In the realm of temptation. You must be tried there. And the Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man. Here's a guy makes a success of this unseemly situation. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he owned, he put in his charge. So Joseph adjusted to his situation. But there was a snake in Eden. There was death in the pot, in the form of Potiphar's wife. And you'll notice in verse 6, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. I don't know the difference between form and appearance, but there must be, because that's what it says. He was handsome in form, evidently well-built, and handsome of face. He was handsome in form and appearance. He's a striking young man. His dad would have loved to have seen him. And here he was, intelligent, perceptive, diligent, and not cursing his day because of what happened to him or his brethren or anything, making a success where he was. It reminds us of Jesus. It says he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And that's exactly what Joseph, and that's what God wants us to do. Not get knocked down about worrying about the darkness or anything else. Just occupy where we are and just grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Because we're in a race, saints. We're in a race. This is going to be handed to us. We've got to believe. We've got to be willing to stretch and grow. Praise the Lord and jump the hurdles. And we can do it too if that's what we want to do. And so this snake comes and says, lie with me. But he refused. And he says, look, here I am, my master. It doesn't concern him anything. And he's given me charge over the whole house. And he's saying, you know, here is an honorable man. How can I do this evil and sin against God? But you're going to find that temptation is persistent. And something will come to you, and you know it's wrong. No. But it'll be back the next day. No. And it's back the next day. And then the next day that it comes with this thought. Maybe this is God's will. See? Maybe God's going to do something for you here in this house. See? Temptation is persistent. And when a thing is wrong, it's wrong. And this woman was persistent. And what she was doing was wrong. And of course, he didn't even have the Ten Commandments at this time. But he knew in his conscience that it was a sin. See, this was before Moses. This was before the Ten Commandments. And he had his conscience. Told him it was wrong. Many times our conscience helps us. When we don't know the Bible. And so you know the story, and this wretched soul lied and compromised him. And now here he is getting hit again. He has overcome temptation. He overcame it. He was a conqueror, and his conquest led him into prison. Boy, here I get the victory over sin and I do God's will, and where do I end up? In a worse place than I was. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Now what happened to your vision with the stars bowing and the sheaves bowing and the overcoming message and sitting in the throne of God? It's hard to keep, you can lose sight of it easily. And so is Potiphar's anger burn in verse 19. That impresses me. Potiphar never asked Joseph. He believed his wife implicitly. Listen, don't believe people. I learned something in public school. It's a good thing to keep in mind. A kid will come to you and he'll say, or a little girl will come. This is the way it usually happened. Crying her eyes out. He kicked me. Timmy kicked me. Kicked me. Well, when you're new in the game, you get out. Outrage. Where's that Timmy? I'll rend him joint from joint, kicking this beautiful little girl. You learn not to jump. Let's hear Timmy's side first. Then Timmy comes in and he's got a bump on his head like that. Timmy, what happened? I don't know. I was walking and she hit me with her lunch pail. Well, it isn't like a little girl that clobbers somebody with the lunch pail. So then you have to get some other kids. What happened here? Well, it comes to find out that the little girl had something in her lunch, and Timmy comes by and says, what do you got in your lunch? And she told him, and he said, oh, your mother wears army boots or something. So she hit him with a lunch box. And he kicked her. And that's the truth. That's how it went. And usually that's about the way it goes. But when it's your own kids, and it's your own little girl that comes, wow, call out the Marines. It's good to hear all the sides. But Potiphar didn't do that. Potiphar didn't do that. This was his wife that he trusted implicitly, the liar. He did that! Boy, I want to kill you on the spot. His anger burned. Joseph hadn't done a thing but behave morally and support his boss. His boss never went, could I hear your side of the Joseph? He just got hot. And when you get hot, you don't think clear. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Isn't that interesting? Like to be in with the king's prisoners? And he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph. Praise the Lord. Here he's going to get the victory again. And gave him favor. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners that whatsoever was done there, he was responsible for. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So we have the prison. Now, what's the sense of taking a guy and giving him a vision, then abusing him in a pit without water, taking him out, selling him to traitors, bringing him into a situation where he's tempted, not believe when he gets the victory, and throws him into the prison? Couldn't you really begin to lose out with God at that point? You'd say, why, this makes no sense. Or begin to blame people. Or get bitterness towards your family. And just, boy, could you ever get bitter on that one. And just spend your, boy, when I get out of here, I'm going to get even. When I get out of here, I'm going to get even. When I get out of here, I'm going to get even. But somehow this man managed to overcome all of these things. Now, the prison, you know, you read about it and you think, well, that isn't so bad. He probably had his own bunk and some comic books to read, or a TV, and you know, and it was like, it wasn't too bad. But some of us are in prison. And it doesn't matter how many comic books you have, or how many TVs, four walls do not make a prison. How many know that? Four walls do not a prison make. When you've got something in your heart that God has put there and you want to move, brother, it's 5 minutes at a time is the only way you can survive. Because that pressure is in you. That thing to serve God is in you. And the cooling off period is extremely important. Praise the Lord. I don't know what his thoughts were about God or anything. All that we know was that he was industrious. We know that God sent people to him, the butler and the baker, and he ministered to them, and they both promised to bring him out of prison, and neither one of them were able to deliver. You'll find that in your life, too. People will come by, and lo and behold, they've got a way to get you out of prison. Watch it. Watch it. Be careful. Don't jump. They'll come with this and come with that. And, you know, after a while, we begin to recognize that God is not after our getting our way and all our prayers answered and everything. God has us in a school, saints. We're being prepared, I believe with all my heart, to exercise power that has never been exercised on the face of the earth. I believe that since I was in Bible school. I believe it more today than I have ever believed it. I used to walk the streets in the Bay Area praying early in the morning. God, bear witness. Reach every human being on earth. As a school teacher teaching the fifth grade, had no more chance of doing that than lifting the Empire State Building. No way. A wild dream. But he said, ask what you will, didn't he? God, I believe you to do that. You said every creature. But I came to see the day, and I come back to my mind when that was happening, when I was standing on the pulpit and Eddie was there, and Stan and the different ones, and here was over 500 ministers, pastors, evangelists from how many nations? 40 nations, something like that. And delivering my soul in the feast of the Lord in the land of promise. How could such a thing be brought about in such a short time? And God himself only knows where those books have gone. You look at people and here's some poor little black fella or something, and you know, and maybe he doesn't cut the mustard in school or whatever, maybe he doesn't know, he even knows he was there. And then he goes back to his village, and this guy becomes a world beater. And something that you said made the difference in his life. And he thought, I can do it. And he went and reaches people by the thousands. I remember Khaki Buju. I remember some of the others, and there's tremendous promise there if God uses those people. He can do it. It happened. It happened. Praise the Lord. It isn't a wild dream. That came to pass. I saw it with my own eyes. But I don't think that's the end. I think if we will believe God, every one of us, and not feel sorry for ourselves or what trouble we're having, forget about the pit and forget about the prison and everything, but keep that vision. God has said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do greater. And never let anybody talk us out of it. I don't care about age. I'm not exactly young anymore. But I tell you, I can still get up in the morning, bless God. And I believe that God means what he said. And so I'm willing to wait for God's prison. I know the vision that burns in my bones. I know what it is. You don't know all of it, but I know some of it, praise God. And I'm willing to wait God's time, but it isn't going to dampen me. If God says this year and next year and next year and next year, someday I'm going to see that vision come to pass. I have the confidence. I have the witness in my spirit. It's going to come to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord! So Joseph was disappointed by people who offered him a shortcut out, but they couldn't keep it. I'll tell you this, I've had more people come and help me with my books. And it's interesting. They start off as fresh as daisies, but by the time they get through, they don't know what hit them. It's interesting to see that, and I usually warn them in advance, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. I could just stand here until tomorrow morning and tell you about some of the things that have happened to people that have tried to help me with my books. And if you're not prayed through, don't try it. because God evidently wants this word out at a certain time in a certain way. And that's the way it's going to be. And people have come, they said, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Man, we're going to do the next thing. And my heart jumped. I said, wow! Must be the Lord's hour. But you can't do it. You cannot move things. I'm telling you, things go bananas. The weirdest, most unreal. The first company I was with went bankrupt. The second one, I don't know the shape they're in. Their latest newsletter isn't much better. And I'm telling you, one lady actually came in the first edition of the Tabernacle, came and gave me tithe money. She says, I want to give you that tithe money. I want that thing published. Wonderful. I said, praise the Lord. I had a first draft of the Tabernacle of the Congregation, about 100 pages. I took the money, this woman's money, gave it to a printer in the church. 3 years later, 3 years, and he hadn't done anything. I just spent the money. I suppose the first week he got it. But he didn't print any book. 3 years, I thought, I better go ask him how it's coming on. Well, I can't be accused of being rash or impetuous. And still nothing happened. I finally went to the pastor of the church. Then something happened. And I got the book. I won't go into what's going on tape, but anyway. But that's just one example of the weird, bizarre things that happen. You can't, and I'm sure it'll happen to you too. When God is moving in your life, people can't help you. And they can't hinder you. All they do is help to perfect you. Praise the Lord. All right. Disappointment. And then God moved in the world. See, God moved in the world then. On old Pharaoh. Boy, we talk and we say, if I had $1 million, this would happen, I'd send me your pocketbook and I'll send you back your driver's license, and with the rest I'll convert the world. That's right, if I had enough money, what could I do? You couldn't do anything, because the kingdom of God doesn't move on money, it moves on the Spirit of God. All you do is make a big flap. But if the Spirit of God is the only one that can build the temple of God, praise the Lord. But when God gets ready to move, brother, he doesn't move with 1 million Christian people up in arms. He goes to Pharaoh. Do you remember like Cyrus the Great? God said to me, build a temple. God is preparing today deliverers. And of course, we hear all kinds of voices say you should do this and you should do the next thing. My counsel is pray. I tried everything. I've got the conclusion the best thing to do is to pray. That doesn't mean you shouldn't adventure something once in a while. If you're a little prayer wheel turning, don't be backward about being forward. Try it, But when you get all through knocking your head against a wall, for some of us anyway, the best thing to do is go back and get a sense of the magnitude of the vision, what God is saying. They tormented everybody that lived on the earth. Can you imagine anything like that? Wow. Maybe that doesn't appeal to you. But I could see a lot of good coming out of that. It would help some people today if they were tormented. They might change their mind about God and Jesus Christ. Worldwide thing. Stop the world. Coal in us. We got to move around here. Every time we get up in the morning, here's these people tormenting us all the time. You go to lay a hand on them, you drop dead. 3.5 years this winter. It's a big vision. But where does God? He doesn't mess around with butlers and bakers. He goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream. He woke up. Pharaoh had a problem. Where's the solution to my problem? When God gets ready with this to witness things, I believe that this story of Joseph is a type of the tribulation of this week. The fat cows and the skinny cows is a type of this week. And the wrath on Egypt is a type of the wrath of God. And Israel survived through that, didn't they, in Goshen? Hallelujah! God didn't have to whisk them out of the wrath. When God poured out his wrath, and people were reading the newspaper in the evening in Goshen, and the Egyptians couldn't see their hand in front of their face. Say, well, God pours out his wrath, I don't want to be here. Well, we've got Goshen, they were there in Goshen, and that wasn't a type of tribulation, boy, that was a type of the wrath of God. Plague after plague, oh, I don't want to be here. They were having a great time in Goshen. How does God come to a suburb? What did he do, hang a sheet? Here they've got all this light in the suburb. Well, how, what are the flies are flying around that buzz up and hit the wall, boom, and bounce off? It's a suburb of Egypt on the northeast corner of Egypt. The flies couldn't get in there, the plague couldn't get in there, the darkness couldn't get in there, the frogs had a flat head from trying to get in there. What a God is that to carry us up to heaven? Look what he did to the people that weren't even born again. And when they went out of Egypt, they didn't disappear in the middle of the night. Praise God. They went out with a high hand. The Egyptians were saying, go! And they said, well, after you give me all your gold and silver, here it is! Go! Please! You know, will somebody please steal this bride and get her out of here? And the dogs were tongue-tied. They went out, it says, the Bible says they went out with a high hand. They didn't sneak out. But I think Joseph is, the fat and the lean cows are a type of your tribulation. The whole earth came. And I think, somehow my bones, I don't understand at all, but I think during the first half of this week, God is going to give us favor in the sight of the nations, because they're going to be suffering from the tribulation too. And if Elijah and Elisha are most certainly a type of the two witnesses, they did just as much ministering to the Gentiles as they did to Israel. And Jesus pointed this out, and it made the Jews furious. He said there was a lot of lepers in Israel. Why did Elisha go to the captain of Israel's worst enemy, Naaman, heal him, and all these lepers in Israel? In fact, he put leprosy on his own servant, and then goes and heals a Syrian. And Jesus said, that happened? And they begin to throw stones at him. And I believe that's a type that we are going to minister. See, all the ends of the earth came to Joseph, not just Egypt, not just Israel, but all the, that famine covered the whole world, and here they came streaming from every nation to be fed by Joseph. And I believe that we are going to act, not only going to be tormenting people, but we are going to be acting under the auspices of kings. I absolutely believe that. That the Russians and the rest of them, this thing, you see, the things that the Russians are fighting, they fight religion, but their main fight is capitalism. And that distinction needs to be made. The Christian church is neither capitalistic nor communistic. It is independent of that. But we're all entangled. I think in the future, some of these communists may be shrewd enough to see that the blessing of God is on the Christians. And they won't have to swallow Western capitalism to get the blessing of the Lord. And when they do, things might radically change. And the people that have the glory of God resting on them are going to be needed by the Russians. They're going to be needed by the communists. See, old Pharaoh is going to have a dream. Not Jacob. Pharaoh! And he said, I'm my wit's end. I don't know what to do. What is this? My mind is troubled. Like Nebuchadnezzar. Is there any solution around here? But my wise men. Where is the thing? You've got to get a Jew. You've got to get a Jew. And that's when the nations will turn to the church. And by that time, Joseph was 30. From 17 to 30, that man was treated terribly. But when his time came, as we read in the Psalm, Psalm 105? Look at it again. In case you get to feeling bad. Verse 16, he called for a famine. God called for a famine upon the land. The preceding verses are interesting because he's only dealing with Jacob here and his children. And he says they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. In verse 13, he's only talking about Jacob and his sons. And he reproved kings for their sakes, said, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. And he was talking about Jacob and his sons. And he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. God sent him, you see. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. It was not the devil. It was not people. It was not his brethren. He told his brethren, it wasn't you that sent me here, it was God that sent me here. Oh, saints, can we get that? And not blame people. She did this, and if she hadn't have done that, I'd be in the ministry. And he did this, and the pastor did that, and this one did that. It's none of these people that are afflicting you, it's God that's doing it. You say, well, they're not helping. That may be true. But I think in most instances, people are not out to do you harm. They're not out to injure you. Absolutely not. They'd do you good if they could. But we all stumble around. The thing is that God is rubbing you. God is doing it. And Joseph recognized that. The word of the Lord, the king sent and released him, the ruler of peoples, and set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions to imprison his princes at will, that he might teach his elders wisdom. And then, in closing here, the thing that Pharaoh said is absolutely incredible. We come to the place of exaltation now. See, I'm never going to get there. I'm going to be older than Grandma Moses, and I'm never going to make it. I know I'm not going to make it. Because by the time I get there, I'll be so old and tired and sick, I won't have any fun. I won't even enjoy it. By the time I get, who's going to be able to deliver? I'll be in a wheelchair by this time. Have faith in God. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Yeah. We renew our strength in God. So don't worry about getting old before the time comes. All right. 41:38. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? They didn't have to come in town, put up banners, everything. We're the great apostles. Pharaoh did the talking. The world that they're talking. They said, this is what we need. This is what we're waiting for. Here's the solution of the problem. That's what is going to be true if we'll wait with God. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, Egypt, the type of the world. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his signet ring, and that's a strong covenant in those days. You give a man your ring, that's giving him your own person, identity, from his hand, and put on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put the gold necklace around his neck, and he had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee, and he set him all over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, just think of this, to a person that a week prior to this had been in prison. A week prior to this had been in prison. I am Pharaoh, but without your permission, Joseph, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. The dream came true. The impossible. The impossible. Now, I think God has given us in this church, and I'm sure in many others, an impossible dream. The greater works. The lampstand. The latter rain revival. The gospel to the ends of the earth. It's an impossible dream. And you spend time in the pit and the vision gets scarred. You spend time resisting temptation and it gets scarred more. And then finally God puts you in a place where you can't even see the sun. And your feet are in irons, and the vision is getting scarred more and more. And pretty soon you figure, there's a credibility gap here. There's a credibility gap. This person is talking way out of sight, and I can't do this first simple, practical little thing to get there. There's a credibility gap, and your faith begins to crack and groan. It's strange. You ever feel that? Your faith begin to give way? I can't hold it. I can't keep the concept. I'm sure Abraham had that with Isaac. About after year 24, when God said he's going to come next year, I'm sure Abraham was tempted to say, forget it. I've waited this long, you know, and I believed you, God, for 24 years. I can't rally to the cause. Saints, I hope there's no one here tonight that has been injured. Churches go up and down, don't they? Battles, Satan's on the move, but we don't care about Satan. God wants us to overcome. He wants us tough. He does not want us floored by anything that anybody does, any thoughts. It's time to grow. It's time to stretch. There's a new light on the horizon. There's another step to take in God. How many feel that? Is God challenging you lately? Is God causing you? And you know, we're either going to go one way or the other. And that's how churches prune themselves and go on. See? Sometimes the branch is pruned. Sometimes the vine is pruned. Now listen, there will come shakings and they will be periodic. Don't let anything get so big that it injures your faith. It's all right to stew around. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. It's perfectly human to have your doubts and fears and spend at least a couple of days when you say, I don't believe the whole thing. I don't believe anything. In fact, I'm not even sure that I believe the Bible. I don't know. It's, you know. That's fine. That's human. There's no problem there. You haven't lost out with God. Don't worry about it. But then get a hold of your spirit. And say, look, I remember when I started in Christian Life Fellowship, I remember the dream, I remember the vision. The Bible hasn't changed, God hasn't changed, God doesn't change His mind. And just pull your spiritual condition in and say, God, I believe You've got something. I've got this experience now. I'm harder than I was, I'm tougher than I was, I'm more knowledgeable than I was, more seasoned and more experienced. And I'm reaching. I want something new and fresh to touch my life. And God will bring us up to another plateau. Praise the Lord! Jesus! Hallelujah! Reach out in faith with me tonight. Lord, we see on the horizon looming up a cloud like a man's hand. Lord, it's a little cloud, but we know that the torrent is coming. Hallelujah, Jesus! Oh, Lord, we're not at all dismayed, Lord. We're not at all dismayed. We're wiser. We're more experienced, Lord. We're not as naive. Hallelujah. We're not as young as we were, Lord. But we know where we're going, Lord. And we know the vision is true. Hallelujah. 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 Someday, Lord, You promise. Hallelujah. I will give power unto My two witnesses, and they shall minister. And Lord, we're candidates, and we believe it. We believe it. Oh, God, we believe someday You're going to speak to Pharaoh. Hallelujah, and this confusion will be over, and they'll be looking for a Jew that has visions and dreams. And Lord, that's us, and we're ready, and we're trained. Hallelujah. No longer babes flattered with our own voice, but seasoned and hardened and toughened. And experienced and not easily swayed, Lord, but ready to bear the latter rain anointing. Oh, God, hallelujah, what a vision, what a vision, what a vision. Praise Your wonderful name. And Lord, as Walter said, pour out of Your spirit, pour out of Your gifts, Lord. Let them be mighty and liberal in this assembling and begin to move like You did Samson, begin to move Your people in the camp. Hallelujah. Lord, give new and wonderful things, Lord, during this coming week, Lord. Overcome the spirit of the holiday. Cause Your people to wake up tomorrow, Lord, full of a vision, hallelujah, of a world to come, Lord, and of a revival in this world, Lord, such as it's never seen, because You promised it in Your word, Lord. You said, I'll give power unto My witnesses, and they shall prophesy. And Lord, we'll see it, and we believe it. We reach out for it. Hallelujah. We know we're not worthy, Lord. That's settled and long forgotten, Lord. The only thing that matters is You, what You've said, Your faith, Your worthiness, Your blood, Your program. Oh, hallelujah. Avarakahandaya. Avarakaharshilia. Kisilia alabaya. Lord, lift from every spirit here every bit of unbelief, every bit of discouragement, every bit of tiredness, every bit of chagrin and frustration, every bit of disappointment. And Lord, if any have been wounded, we pray right now, Lord, the oil will be poured in. You take out the knife, Lord. We won't touch it. You take out the knife. Take it out, Lord. and bring the balm of Gilead, Lord. Hallelujah. And heal. Heal, Lord. Heal those that are wounded, Lord. Heal those, Lord. Oh, God, those that have been touched with unbelief, Lord. Lift that foul thing, Lord. Lift that challenge to God's character from us. Cause us to lift up our eyes and see the chariots of Israel around about us, Lord. Hallelujah. The spirit of Elijah and Elisha is going to settle upon us, Lord. But Lord, move us, give us something now to encourage our hearts, Lord, that we may know that God is in this thing. It's not the work of men, but the work of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for the healing, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, lift every burden. Hallelujah. Believe with me, saints. Just believe with me. If there's anything in your heart, confess it now before the Lord. We all can get caught, every one of us. Let it go tonight. Let it go. Everyone's seeking your good. Everyone. Everyone. No one hurts anyone in this church by design. It's always confusion and Satan's endless seeking to divide. Let your heart be full of faith and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, give us such a love for one another in this church, Lord. Hallelujah. Hold the demons at bay, Lord. And give us a love in this church, one for another, Lord. Praise your name. Cause it to mount up, Lord, and surmount every challenge, every doubt, every episode, every temptation, everything that would occur, Lord, by your mighty power. Cause it to overcome, Lord. You said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another. Lord, we can't do that in our flesh. We pray that you will do it, Lord. And give us faith, Lord. Give us faith and a greater vision than we've ever had. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I think the Lord is talking to us about battle. We're going to have to be prepared to battle, people. We're going to have to be prepared to fight. It isn't going to be handed to us. These glorious treasures of the kingdom, we're going to have to fight to make sure that our hearts stay clear, that unbelief and discouragement don't creep in. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just stretch out our hands toward the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Saints, we need the vision. Oh, God, I pray, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we lift up our hands unto you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we need a clear vision of your will. Hallelujah. Oh, God, work your will and work your way in this assembling, O Lord. Oh, Jesus, we need a clear vision of your will, Lord. We need a clear vision of what you have for us that is next. I pray, Lord, you will take from our minds every pattern that has been established. Every limiting thought, Lord, that we can think. Every preset design or supposition about what you can do or what you will do. Lord, take it from us, Lord. We're so often limiting the Holy One of Israel. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, for each one of us, every one of us here, Lord, give us a true vision of what you want for this church. Give us a true vision, Lord. Work a miracle in this place, Lord. Give us a true vision of what you want, Lord. Praise your holy name. Lord, what has been done, we praise you, Lord, for all that has been accomplished. We give thanks unto you, Lord. But I feel in my spirit, Lord, we are at a place, Lord, we must reach a new plateau, Lord. We must press forward, Lord, in that which you have for us, Lord. A new attainment, Lord, a new lifting. Lift from us, Lord, that which would hinder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I agree with me, saints. Hallelujah. We'll just praise that God will lift from us all that would hinder the vision, all that would cause us to compare ourselves with anybody at any time. Hallelujah. God has called us, saints, to mount out, to bear the double portion, to bear the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift from us the sluggishness, O God. Lift from us the unbelief, O Lord. Hallelujah. We bind it at the root in the name of Jesus. We bind it at the root in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. The business as usual. We bind it at the root in the name of Jesus. We bind it at the root in the name of Jesus. We bind it at the root in the name of Jesus. And we charge you to leave this assembly in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Leave us in the name of Jesus. Leave us, you oppressive thing, in the name of Jesus. We will not entertain you. We are the Lord's soldiers and we will not entertain you. We will not have it. We will not have it. We will not have it in our midst. In the name of Jesus, we will not have it. We will rejoice in the Lord. We will praise you. We will press on and on in Zion. We will mount up and sing and dance in the heights of Zion. Hallelujah. We will overcome. We will overcome. We will conquer. We will believe, Lord. And we will overcome and we will attain, Lord, all that you have for us. We will come short of nothing. We will lay hold upon the fullness of the glory of God. Nothing shall stop us, Lord. Nothing. We shall overcome. We shall please you, Lord. We shall grasp that for which we have been grasped. We shall mount up, Lord, with wings as eagles. We shall not be hindered. We shall overcome. In thy name, Jesus, we shall conquer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do a new thing in our midst, Lord. We need to behold thy glory. We need to touch thee, O Lord. We need to behold thy glory, Jesus of Nazareth. We need to be holy in thy glory. We need to see what it is you are doing. Hallelujah. Lift us up on and past, Lord, that to which we become accustomed. Give us a new vision, Lord. Cause us to walk on the water with you. Green pastures, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift us higher tonight, Lord. Higher, higher, higher to your throne. Higher to your throne. Touch us, mighty Christ. Lift us, lift us, lift us. Do new and wonderful, surprising things, miracles among your people. Bring us to prayer. Anoint us unto prayer, Lord. Give us a burden of prayer. Cause your signs to be operating, Lord. Lift the unbelief from our midst. Cause us to believe in spite of ourselves. Touch us with divine faith. Renew the vision. Help us, Lord, not to see what's going on, but only Jesus. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus. Make us quick to believe, quick to hear, quick to obey. Oh, Jesus, lift us to a new height this night. New, fresh, living. Take us higher, Lord. By your power, Lord, take us higher. By your power, take us higher. Do whatever is necessary, Lord. By your power, take us higher. Do whatever you have to, Lord, but by your power, Take us higher in Jesus. Take us higher in Jesus. Don't let us stop, Lord. Don't let us stop anywhere along the way. Take us higher. Lift us higher. Lift us higher by your power. Lord, everyone that believes, Lord, give them a heart. Give us a heart full of faith, Lord. We lay hold on. We will not be passive, Lord. We lay hold on the glory of God. Hallelujah. We believe the promises. We see the land that is very far off. We know you can do it. We know you will do it, Lord. The dream will come to pass. Pharaoh will dream a dream. It will work, Lord. It will happen. It will happen in our lifetimes. I know it, Lord. I know it. I know it. Hallelujah. We shall see the blind eyes open. We shall see the creative works of God. We shall see the doors open. We shall see the people used in ministry. We shall see the church without spot or wrinkle. We shall see the glory of God. We shall overcome the things that plague us. We shall do it. We shall be renewed. We shall overcome. We shall conquer in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no angel in heaven. There's no man on earth that can stop us, Lord, because we believe in you. We believe in your word. We believe in the fullness of the glory of God. We believe in the double portion. We believe in the greater works. We believe in everything that you've said. We believe that with God all things are possible. We believe you, Lord. We believe you to cast every mountain into the sea. We believe you, Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Take us where we've never been, to skip upon the mountains of balsam. Touch us, Lord, with the romance. Cause us, Lord, to be in the lion's den, in the den of leopards, to dwell with you on high, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Call us and we will run after thee. Call us and we will run after thee, Lord. Oh, Lord, not our faith, your faith. Your faith. Your faith. Your steadfastness. Your keeping power. Oh, God, we believe. We believe. We believe. We believe. We believe we shall see it with our own eyes. We believe it, Lord. We believe it. We believe it. To the ends of the earth, the glory of God, as the waters cover the sea. We believe it, Lord. In our day, to see with our eyes, we believe it, Lord. We believe it, Lord. Believe it, Lord. We believe it. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are the Son of God. All things are possible. All things are possible. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Abarakahandala lavakaha siri arabahaya. Hallelujah. Believe you, Lord. Believe you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. If you have a vision from the Lord that God has given you sometime in your life, just take it out and dust it off. Believe God. Believe God. It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Believe it. Believe it. Never doubt it for a minute. And Isaac will be born to you. Praise your name. He's the God of the impossible. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Only believe. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Shall we stand? Let's sing unto Him, Your name is wonderful. He's the one that does it, saints. We believe, but Jesus will do it. We don't have to do it. Jesus will do it if we believe and are faithful like Joseph. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, You are the mighty King, Master of everything. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. You're the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages, Almighty God, are You. Bow down before You. We love and adore You. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ikili arava hayara vaka hanara lava hasi.